So many self-help books, we may find them containing some principles which can help us in our practice of bhakti also. But usually those self-help books don't talk anything about transcendental principles. So can we use such self-help books and the principles there? Answer. You see, the word self-help, we can see it at one level as a paradox, as a self-contradiction. Because when we read a self-help book, we are actually taking the help of the author. So it's not self-help in that sense, strictly speaking. But self-help is also valid in another sense, that the author gives us tools by which we help ourselves. And we could say that Bhagavad Gita 6.5 is directly a call for self-help. Uddharet atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva yatmano bandhur atmaiva ripuratmana. So there are acharyas, I think Chakravarti Pad interprets this to mean that, no, elevate the self with yourself and don't degrade the self with the self. Prabhupada uses the mind over there. But whichever it is, we could say it is the self is helping the self. So it is self-help. So the principle of self-help is an ideology-neutral principle. In the sense that self-help is simply a person trying to do things by which they can elevate themselves. So if you consider this verse in the Gita itself, this is not talking about any particular parts. Elevate the self with the self and elevate yourself with the mind and don't degrade yourself with the mind, whichever way we translate it. This is not recommending any path. It is not recommending Ashtanga, it is not recommending Jnana, it is not recommending Bhakti. It is just giving a universal principle which anyone can apply and anyone can be benefited by applying. So self-help is a genre that has become increasingly prominent in modern world because the society has become more competitive, more insecure, more stress-filled, and many times in today's world, people are expected to perform in ways that may not have been, that their ancestors had never been expected to. And that puts a further demand on the human body and especially the human mind. And that causes people to sometimes buckle under pressure. So self-help as a need that is increasingly felt in today's world. And so addressing this need, there have been authors and leaders from various spiritual or religious groups who have penetrated the market of self-help. So Christians have done that quite well. Norman Vincent Peale he wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking, which was from, he's considered the pioneer of positive thinking. And after him, there have been many other Christian authors who have done that also. So within Christianity, a whole ideology has come up called as prosperity theology, which is a part of Protestantism. There are some branches of Protestantism which criticize it quite a bit. So prosperity theology is the idea is that if you devote yourself to God with a positive attitude, then God will provide you prosperity in this world. And it is quite often said that America is based on prosperity. American Christianity is largely prosperity theology. Then there was Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was quite influenced with the Upanishads. And he is like one of the intellectual fathers of America. And he and Henry David Thoreau, they were called as the American Transcendentalists. And their transcendental ideas came primarily from the Upanishads and from Buddhist literature. So they also talked about how it is the power of the human thoughts. By our thoughts, we can elevate ourselves, we can degrade ourselves. And taking inspiration from them, there have been, or not necessarily taking inspiration from them, but expanding on what they have done, there have been many Buddhists as well as many impersonalists who have penetrated this genre of self-help. And then, if we consider their self-help books themselves, the principle that they talk about for elevating the self, for helping the self, depending on their ideological orientation, they may have a little biblical orientation or a monist orientation or Buddhist orientation. But the basic principles are meant to mold people towards sattvic living and get them a little higher than sattvaguna. towards transcendence, but not really into transcendence. So that's why today, if we read self-help books, then we will find mostly them not talking about much transcendental things. Depending on the ideological orientation of the author, we may find the self-help books talking about Christianity or about monism or about Buddhism, whatever, Zen Buddhism especially. So we as devotees can also adapt the Krishna conscious philosophy, the bhakti philosophy, and present it in self-help terms. So if you do that, it may require some rejuggling of our presentation, and some devotees may not be comfortable with that, which is perfectly fine. Not everybody has to do this, but it is the principle of self-help. Because ultimately, if we say, even if I have to take the help of Guru and Krishna, but Prabhupada also writes in connection with that Kala Krishnadas pastime that, you know, if we are not determined, even the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot help us. And the Uddhav Gita also talks about how ultimately we have to become our own Guru, not in replacement of our spiritual master, but in service to our spiritual master. We have to become our own Guru. That the Atma can be the Guru of the Atma. That's the verse in the towards the end of the, I think, the Ayala Gita. So in principle, the idea of the self helping the self is directly from 6.5 in the Gita, and that can be applied or presented or understood in bhakti terms also. So for us as devotees to use self-help principles, not for understanding any philosophical conclusions, but for progressing towards the bhakti conclusions, that is perfectly fine. What can become problematic is if while reading self-help books to apply some self-help principles, if we start getting impressed by the ideological orientations of those authors, and then we start thinking that their conclusion is the highest conclusion, then it will become a problem. See, we have to fight a war against our mind and senses. It's an inner war. And our spiritual master gives us the mission. To the extent we are successful in our inner war, to that extent we can be successful in our outer war also. Outer war means whatever services we are doing. So our spiritual master gives us a mission to share bhakti with the world. And to the extent we are winning our inner war, to that extent we will be able to be more effective in our outer war. So now our spiritual master cannot fight our inner war for us. They may give us some guidance, some instructions, but we have to fight the inner war. So, you know, an army may give some soldier, army may give its soldier certain weapons. But if on the ground they are finding that there are some, those weapons are not helping them as much because the enemy has got some other weapons which are very difficult to deal with. And then they find that that point on the ground, some other weapons help them, and they get those weapons and start using them. So changing weapons as a matter of strategy on the ground while fighting the war is perfectly fine. But what can become a problem is while using some new weapons, we start thinking, hey, these weapons are so good that maybe those who made the weapons, they must also be good. Maybe I should be fighting for them instead of me. But change of weapons, if it leads to change of strategy, change of affiliation, then it becomes a big problem. But as long as change of weapons doesn't lead to change of affiliation, then using different weapons, Prabhupada present Krishna consciousness scientifically. Vishwanathacharya Thakur did not present it scientifically, because science was not there at that time. So if people over there are fighting in the language of science, then we have to use the language of science. If people are fighting with the language of self-help, we use the language of self-help. So whatever people are fighting, if the war is being fought or major victories are being got using the language of yoga, then we use the language of yoga. So change of wars, change of weapons as per whatever is the best way to win the war on the ground, that is fine. What we have to be careful is that change of weapons should not lead to change of affiliation. If that doesn't happen, then for us to use self-help principles for self-help practices more. We could say principles not in terms of philosophical conclusions, but principles in terms of certain ways of looking at things. If those ways of looking at things can help us to become better servants of Krishna, then in specific situations to use them is Okay, as long as our faith in the ultimate goal is not changing. If we hear read some self-help principle from a particular teacher, and we find, oh, this teacher is what they're teaching, that must be the ultimate conclusion because these principles work so well, then we may go off track. So I was with Burjan Prabhu in Australia, and I asked him about, he said, told me that he writes journals extensively. And then I also write journals, but I asked him, Prabhuji, is there any Shastric Praman for writing journals? So, because anything we do, it takes time. So if I spend maybe, day, when if I spend say 20 minutes daily writing a journal, 30 minutes writing a journal daily, it is a substantial amount of time. So he said that, Prabhupada also, we have an example of him keeping a journal, during, but his journal is more of practical things. This happened, I did this. But he said that example is there. And more importantly, he said is that, even 100 years ago, people's mind was not as disturbed as it is now. Upadruta, that the characters of Kali Yuga is called. So he says that in the past, even authors in general, they would just write and it would be fairly good. Now, when we write, we do so much editing of what we write. So it seems that the mental faculty has become weakened. And that's why we need to do what it takes to address with it. So, you know, if we have practiced bhakti for a sufficient number of years and we have convinced about the goal of bhakti, then we can make out, okay, if I'm journaling, is that a worthwhile investment of time? If I'm journaling, is it helping me in becoming more focused on Krishna? Is it helping me to become calmer so that I can do better service of Krishna? And if we find that it works, then we can use it. So, in these disturbed conditions in this age, if we find a particular method useful for calming ourselves, using it is okay. We shouldn't publicize that method too much, and certainly we should not publicize that as a superior alternative to the direct practices of bhakti. So we didn't say just journal, don't chant. Just practice mindfulness, no need to chant. Not like that. But for specific individuals in specific circumstances, some of these practices may help in increasing the focus on the practice of bhakti. And for those specific individuals, in those specific situations, if the practices are useful, they can use it. And then there will be in the outer world other like-minded people who may also have that kind of mindset, who may be very introspective, they want to journal, or who may be like the idea of mindfulness. And those people also, if we can reach out to those people in the long run, that may also be a way in which what we are adopting will not just be for our own inner battles, but it can help us to fight some outer battles for Krishna also and win some special territories which the normal preaching strategy would not have been able to win. So it's okay as long as we don't shift our affiliation because of finding certain strategies or certain weapons useful in the inner or the outer battle. Okay, thank you.